So, Ben, this is when we ask the faculty, what's your first-line treatment for a patient with a RET rearrangement? But we said the patient has a high PD-L1 level. Everybody says, of course, you know, we said reimbursement issues aside. So everybody says one of the new RET inhibitors, they actually say selpercatinib, except Govindan, who would use actually chemo plus pembrolizumab, carbo-pem. And it gets into the idea of the paradigm, you know, kind of the paradigm that came out of EGFR with IPASS. And then there, I think there were studies like that in ALK where they proved it was better than chemo. And then all of a sudden I saw you all going, well, if there's a response rate over 50, 60%, let's bring it in first line. So using this kind of as an example, Ben, can you comment a little bit about that paradigm of first-line therapy metastatic disease in a targetable situation where you don't have randomized trial comparing it, for example, to chemo IO?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think we all kind of use some loose rules in the absence of first-line data to suggest that, you know, we should use our best drug first. I think that's what you're seeing here, and that all of us feel that, you know, oftentimes you only get one chance to get it right, number one. But number two is these drugs elicit meaningful activity that improves quality of life, which is often underrepresented in the data sets, that we favor using these drugs first. I don't know what the metric is to say, well, this drug was evaluated in second line and elicited response rate of 40 or 50 or 60%, thus it should move frontline in the absence of frontline data. I think we all gain experiences with these drugs and realize that, you know, they have a favorable toxicity profile and patients feel better on them, and they elicit meaningful responses, and we want to move them in the absence of frontline data to the frontline. And I think, you know, Dr. Govindan's answer is actually the more academic, based on evidence answer. We have most data with this drug in the refractory setting. I think we'll learn more and more about it in the treatment naive setting, but I think this is medicine as an art and not a science, where we've got a good drug and we want to move it up front. And I think this is where we're heading with precision oncology.
So, John, speaking of targeted therapy, we had a press release that went out, I guess, in the last week or two about the adjuvant osimertinib trial, the ADAURA study. I think this is the first major phase 3 randomized trial targeted therapy in lung cancer. It's going to report, which is reportedly closed early because of efficacy, and going to be, looks like it's going to be presented at ASCO, and there are virtual meetings, so we're going to be seeing the data soon. John, any comments about some of the things that you're going to be looking to in the data set? As soon as I saw that press release, I arranged an interview with Tom Lynch, incidentally, who I'd been wanting to talk to anyhow because I was curious what happened when he got to Seattle. But in any event, I'm just kind of curious. One of the things I was talking with him about is the same thing we were just talking about. Are we going to have to do adjuvant trials? We know there's some out there, Alchemist, et cetera. But Ben, are we going to have to do adjuvant trials on all these things? Or if ADAURA is really positive, do you think RET and everything else is going to come into the adjuvant setting, maybe after chemo?
I think this is going to be a hugely important result for the field, actually for a couple reasons. So right now, we don't have any targeted therapies that are approved in the adjuvant setting. And so even though we know that drugs like osimertinib are far, far more effective than chemotherapy, we're not using osimertinib in stage 3 or stage 1 and 2 resectable disease. So having the first one approved, assuming the ADAURA study is positive and osimertinib beats placebo in the adjuvant setting, which I'd be surprised if it doesn't, that's really going to change the game, because it means for early stage disease, molecular profiling will have to become part of our standard paradigm. Right now, you can cut out an early stage non-small cell and you can say, I don't care what the molecular profile is. I don't care what the PD-L1 is, because the only approved adjuvant regimen right now is chemo. Well, we're going to have evolution of the field in a couple ways. So if ADAURA is positive, well, then getting molecular profiling will become part of it. Now, there's also the Alchemist study, but that's going to take a long time to read out with ALK as well. And then in the near future, we're going to have immunotherapy studies reading out as well, that will determine if you're not a driver, should you be getting immunotherapy either in the neoadjuvant setting or the adjuvant setting. So I'm very excited for these results to come out. I think it'll be a huge benefit for patients. I think it's going to open the gates, essentially, or the dam will break, where now we'll be molecular profiling all the early stage patients and we'll find out who's got ALK and who's got RET and so forth. There'll be similar trials coming along. And I think a couple of years down the road, we're likely to see these neoadjuvant studies reading out as well. And I think a few years from now, for early stage, we're going to be using immunotherapy and we're going to be using TKIs where appropriate. So I think it's going to be a huge gain for patients.